All right, hanging out right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Corey Anderson up at the National for the 41st Annual Balls Charity Golf Classic with Hen House. And that supports several local charities. We'll tell you more about that with the Balls Charity Golf Classic, 41st Annual for that. That is where Corey Anderson is right now. Let's talk to one of the Royals' top prospects, top 10 prospect in the Royals organization. Ben Kuderna is joining us here. Local kid, Blue Valley, and now with the Columbia Fireflies there with the Royals in A ball. Ben, welcome into the show. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I am doing just fine. I'm wondering, you know, you've pitched a number of games in A-ball now with Columbia. You know, what's the experience like so far as you're getting the taste of professional ball in the minor leagues?
It's been awesome. You know, the atmosphere just up here in low A and the league we play in is really cool. Great fan bases wherever we go. So atmosphere has been super exciting, and then just the competitiveness. You know, the guys we're playing against, some of the, you know, high school guys who got drafted last year that I know, getting to throw against them. And then obviously we have a great team and a bunch of guys that I know with Carter, Frank, and Shane. So it's been cool. Been a really cool experience. It's fun, you know, kind of travel, go to different places, play different teams, and then obviously, you know, play for playoffs at the end of the year.
Has it been like what you thought it would be when people talking about minor league ball and, you know, you'll be heading to Columbia to play in A ball and, you know, rookie ball and extended spring training. And then when you finally get out there and you've, you know, started seven games so far, is it close to what you had imagined minor league baseball would be like and the road trips and things like that?
It is. It's pretty spot on to kind of, you know, what they told us it would be like. But I think it's probably been just better than what I expected. It's been super fun. You know, obviously, minor league life, sometimes it can get boring and repetitive, but it really hasn't felt that way for me. It's just, you know, it's been fun to show up every day and watch games and see our guys throw. And then obviously my start day is getting to throw. So it's been exciting.
And it's interesting that, you know, from your perspective, that you being a younger guy drafted out of high school, and you mentioned some of the guys that are on the team with you there, like, you got a lot of guys that are 20 or younger on your team. So, you know, playing in the major leagues, like Bobby Witt Jr. is in the big leagues. He just turned 22. He's playing with guys that are 27, 30, 33 years old, guys that have families and kids and things like that, that, you know, he's got a different experience of maybe guys he's around. Now that's in the show. So obviously there's a give and take with that, but you know, you got a bunch of guys that are right around your age that are fresh out of high school and, you know, going through minor league ball together. That's got to be a pretty cool experience too, that, you know, everybody's sort of that same age doing the same thing, same mission. I can imagine how much fun that might be when y'all are just hanging out playing ball.
Yeah, you know, it is, because everybody's kind of in the same boat. You know, we kind of get to go through it together. So I think having a good group like that, you know, helps out a lot, just because you guys kind of get to bounce off each other and help each other out, since we are all, you know, just kind of riding the same wave. So it is, it's cool. And it's cool to, you know, throw against, you know, other guys that are in the same boat, like high school. And, you know, kind of every day we get to show up and it's all just kind of the young kids playing baseball. So, it is, it's definitely a little surreal, but it's awesome to have just kind of a younger group that kind of understands what you're going through, 'cause they're doing the same.
Do you find, you mentioned some guys maybe in the draft a year ago that might have been high school guys that were in your same draft. Do you find yourself, if you're going up against them on the mound, that maybe you're putting a little more importance on that because you kind of, you know, judge yourself against your peers and other guys that might be in that same boat as you?
Yeah, you know, maybe a little bit, but it's fun. I mean, just some of the guys I knew I threw against, you always, you see them walk up to the plate and you're both smiling at each other, which it's funny because, you know, this is your job and you're playing minor league baseball.
Yeah.
And, you know, it kind of just feels like you're out here, you know, playing another high school game or a showcase or something. So it's exciting. But obviously, you know, at the end of the day, you want to beat them and, you know, you want to strike them out, or you don't want to give up a hit or whatever it may be, just because, you know, so it's always a little bit of a competition.
Ben Kuderna is our guest with the Columbia Fireflies. What you used right there said it's your job. And that is exactly right for you right now. You think back to a year ago, where you were at this time. I mean, at this time last year, you were still a couple of weeks away from even being drafted. And what life has been like for you in this last year, that now you knew that you were going to get drafted at some point, and you know, decisions that were going to need to be made, and that was going to be your career if you chose to sign. And now, you know, you're on the mound. It is your job. It's not a high school showcase, things like that. It's not state championship tournament or anything. Do you think back of what this last year has been like for you?
I have a little bit, you know, especially the closer we've gotten to the draft. But it is wild, you know, this time last year, just finishing up, you know, just finished high school and then was kind of in the first month of summer and, you know, kind of preparing for the draft. So it's wild and it's kind of weird how things, you know, it seems like it was so long ago and, you know, it was, you know, less than a year ago. So it's cool to kind of look back on, but, you know, I'm glad where I'm at right now. And then, you know, pro ball's been so fun. But it is, it's funny to kind of look back and I'll even see, you know, things in my camera roll a year ago today or, you know, 11 months ago today where it's like, oh, you know, with all the high school guys or, you know, this was, you know, a year ago today we were playing the state tournament and now I'm, you know, throwing in Charleston. So, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. And maybe looking back like, man, how much I didn't know a year later, how much I've experienced what I didn't know last year at this time.
Yeah, exactly. It's a lot's changed. That's for sure. So, yeah, no, it's definitely changed a lot. And then, you know, kind of going at this point last year, we were kind of walking into the unknown of what was going to happen. You know, we had a pretty good idea, but, you know, it all worked out. And then obviously kind of, you know, we got right after it in pro ball. And now we're here in Columbia. So all worked out for the best.
Ben Kuttern is our guest with the Columbia Fireflies. And, you know, you mentioned sort of that the guys that are there with you. I'd imagine that is there some comfort in the numbers that, you know, you knew Carter Jensen. Mazzucato's in the same boat as you are, that, you know, a first-round draft pick. You've got other guys that are, you know, a high draft pick. You got other guys that are, you know, high school guys that are all experiencing this at the same time for the first time. You mentioned that you know, then being a part of pro ball. I got to imagine that it makes it a little bit easier. There's a little more comfort when you've got guys that are going through the exact same thing that you are, and they're looking at you and like, okay, he was in high school at this time, and so he's going through this, and you're looking at them like, all right, this guy's going through that. And you had, you know, that relationship with Carter before it even started, and now playing on the same team. I'd imagine that, you know, helps with the comfort of getting used to it, of just knowing there are other guys that are going through pretty much literally the exact same thing that you've been going through.
Yeah, 100%. Strength in numbers is definitely huge. You know, I think we lucked out with, you know, just how great of a draft class we got in terms of high school guys. And just kind of young guys that you know, we kind of get to help each other out. You know, we're all going through the same ups and downs. So obviously, all of us have, you know, our challenges and our successes. But I think at the end of the day, we all come back. You know, like I said, we're all riding in the same boat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's guys that probably, you know, went to teams that they took a bunch of college guys. And so they might be the only high school guy, or there might only be two high school guys, you know, and their whole draft class that they know. But I think for us, you know, having four or five guys that are all the same age in the same boat doing the same thing, it definitely helps at the end of the day, and I think it makes it a little bit more fun just playing for each other every day.
Ben Kuttern is our guest, and looking at your numbers in Columbia, you've got 7 starts, you've got a sub-2 ERA. What's your approach to the mound right now when you go out there? Is it, you know, working on certain things, finding a comfort, competing, trying to win? What do you do when you're going out to the mound? What's the mission for you when you're out there pitching?
Yeah, it's all a developmental approach. You know, I think obviously I have my things that I'm working on and want to work on in games. Obviously, you want to win. You're trying to do the best for your team. So, you know, whatever that is, you know, I'm going to do. But, yeah, I think every game brings, you know, new challenges and new things that you're trying to work on, you want to do, whether it's throwing a certain pitch in a certain count, you know, throwing a pitch for strikes, you know, throwing a fastball outside more than, you know, whatever it may be. So it's very developmental just down here right now because, you know, there's a lot to work on. It's a long process, and, you know, becoming a good, consistent pitcher is not easy, so you gotta work on it every day. But obviously, I mean, at the end of the day, it's just going out and having fun and doing what I love doing. So, you know, you can talk about, you know, we've got this for scouting reports, and this is what I want to do, and this is what I want to do, and I'll do it. But I think, you know, when you toe the rubber, you kind of think back into, you know, what I've been doing for the last 15 years, which is just, you know, pitching, just playing the game of baseball, having fun. Obviously, there's a little bit more to it now, being my job and the things I need to work on. But I think I just try to simplify it as much as possible and have fun.
Do you, you know, it's, you know, you mentioned the process. Is it, you know, somebody who's had so much success that you have had and have, has been as good as you have been throughout your, you know, high school and even before that career, is it difficult to focus on, like, process versus results? And like I said, you got a sub-2 ERA. There's some walks that are there, and certainly the strikeouts are coming as well. But, you know, you mentioned the process and developing that goes along with it. Is it difficult sometimes to ignore some of the results and focus on the process of just developing?
I mean, not necessarily. I think obviously everybody wants the results. Mm-hmm. And I think the most important thing is just learning to trust the process and know what you're working towards, and kind of seeing, you know, the long shot versus, you know, what do I want to do today? I'm trying to strike everybody out. I'm trying to do this. I'm trying to do that. So I think, you know, there's some times where obviously you want to look and say, okay, well, this is my goal. I want to have, you know, sub-1 ERA, or I want this many strikeouts today. But I think just getting the experience going out every day and, you know, having bad starts, having good starts, having your average starts, I think being able to just trust in the process, trust in our coaching staff, trust in our development staff, and just kind of trusting that they know the right way and the right path to put us on to develop and get better. Is what's most important, because obviously being in high school, you know, you could argue that senior year, you know, everybody kind of wants to be about results, because that's, you know, what gets you drafted is, you know, what are your results at the end of the year? Now that you get in pro ball, I think it's important to just understand that it's, you know, a marathon now, it's mm-hmm. not a sprint. So, you know, taking day by day, working on what you need to work on, and trying not to focus on, you know, what's my ERA, what's my strikeouts, you know, what's this and what's that.
Ben Kunnern is our guest with the Columbia Fireflies, Blue Valley Southwest as well. How much different from a year ago do you think you are as a pitcher now, in what you've been doing out on the mound?
Extremely different, but I would say mostly in very small ways, which I think, you know, you don't necessarily overlook, but you don't really dive into until you get into pro ball or even in college. But, you know, small things from controlling the running game, executing pitches inside, everything, just a lot of the small stuff that we've worked on over the last years has really shown. My changeups blossomed a lot this year, just getting to low A and at the start of this year, which has been really good to see. But compared to last year, I'm definitely a different guy than I was, different pitcher than I was, which is a good thing, trending in the right direction. So,
Was the changeup of importance something to focus on for you to get that third pitch down so that, you know, you stay in the big leagues when you get there and have a number of different pitches to rely on? Was the changeup something that was a matter of focus for you as you started your professional career with Columbia and actually going out there and pitching some live affiliated ball?
Yeah, it was. And I think it's one of those things for every guy, just because, you know, in high school you don't really throw it. It's you know, just a repetition pitch and a field pitch. So, you know, I hadn't really thrown it in catch play. I'd thrown it in, you know, bullpens or whatever it was. That was the only time. And then, obviously, you know, last year, right, we got down to Arizona. And then, for like, you know, since day one, since we got there, we started throwing it in catch play every day. And so I think that's, you know, the biggest thing just development-wise is just throwing it every day, getting the repetition, getting to get better feel for it, and then, you know, finally getting on the mound, throwing it to hitters more and more is the reason it's developed how it has.
You were a guy that when you were drafted had a plus fastball. That was one of the best things about your game was, you know, 95 plus, you know, in high school. What's it looking like now? Do you focus or care about velocity? Does that just come with development and putting on weight and becoming stronger and, you know, refining your technique and things like that? Is the velocity something that's going to come, or are you already seeing an uptick in that?
It's definitely hopefully going to keep growing and going up, but it's, you know, it's definitely something I don't really focus on anymore, just because you learn quickly that, you know, all the guys down here can hit 92, all the guys can hit 95, or all the guys can hit 100. So just being able to focus more on command and making well-placed pitches is most important, because, you know, a well-placed fastball at 91 is better than 95 right down the middle when you're facing, you know, a lot of the guys that are here. So obviously with, you know, getting stronger and putting on weight, and, you know, year by year as I keep going, you know, hopefully we'll just see it, you know, keep ticking up a little bit and ticking up and ticking up. But right now I think the biggest thing is just focusing on command and control of all my pitches. And then when you hammer that out, you start getting stronger and you're a little bit older, I think that's when that velocity naturally just keeps upticking.
Yeah. Is it, if you've got to reach back, like, let's just put it, if you've got to reach back, it's 3-2, bottom of the ninth, you got one pitch left and it's like, here's a fastball. If you got to reach back, what do you think you could hit?
Ninth inning, that's tough.
Well, maybe not ninth inning. Let's go like third or fourth. You got to reach. It's bases loaded, and it's a big situation. All right, I just got to throw a pitch to get out of this right now. I got to reach back and bring it. What do you think you can get to?
If I'm reaching back, we'll be reaching back. We're probably a 96 or a 97, but that's, you know, that's one of those things where you do reach back, or even like an 0-2, but you know, I think my big thing would be, you know, here we go. Let's reach back, put a little fastball on the outer half of the plate, and then we'll be good.
Yeah. Visiting with Ben Kunernow. Real quick, I'm just wondering, like, the communication with the big leagues. You mentioned working on the changeup. That obviously is something that the big league club and the front office and things like that is organizationally would like you to see you work on. Is there that communication between, you know, the upper levels in terms of organizational philosophy that goes on with you as you go to the mound and, you know, continue to see progress and things like that?
It is, and I think there's, you know, a lot of things that for just a pitcher in general, no matter, you know, what organization, there's the things you need to hammer out, like, you know, obviously your fastball command, and then, you know, developing that feel and that change up, and then, you know, command for your slider or whatever your, you know, third, second off speed pitch is. So it is, it's, you know, from the top down, it's, you know, we're all working on the same things. And I think at the end of the day, it just comes down to who can do it the most consistent, which is, you know, what I look at the baseball, you know, the game of baseball as, and the best guys is just who does it the most consistent. So obviously there's the small things that you've got to hammer out, you know, from fastball command and change up and all that stuff. And then as you move up and start to develop that more and get better and better, then it just becomes, you know, can you consistently do it on a day-to-day basis and start-to-start basis.
Ben Kunernow is our guest. Last one for you. You mentioned some of the guys of just sort of strength in numbers and being around them, but play on the field, do you look around with your teammates and say that there may be a time, and certainly a lot of things happen and a lot of, you know, roads can be very, you know, windy and forks and things like that over the next 3-4 years, but do you look around and say, like, you know, Mazzucato and Hernandez are right there and Panzini, and then you've got, you know, Vasquez and Pena and Carter that are sort of on the team that are all viewed as like top 15, top 20 prospects in the organization. Do you ever look around and say, boy, in a few years, there might be a number of us that could be wearing Royals uniforms at the same time?
Yeah, we do. We talk about it all the time. Yeah, obviously, we're all aware that, you know, everybody's road is different. Everybody's going to have their ups and downs. And, you know, everybody's timeline might be different. But, you know, at the end of the day, we're all, you know, striving for the same thing, is just to get to the big leagues. And, you know, we all talk about how, you know, just cool it would be and fun it would be just for, you know, us high school guys, obviously starting in Arizona last year, some of us in extended, all kind of working our way up with each other, and then all kind of getting there just as the group, and how close we already are that, you know, in a couple of years when we all get up there, you know, how special it would be that all of us get to play with each other and, you know, be in a big league uniform and travel on the road and, you know, compete for a World Series when, you know, for us, in our minds, it's just a big group of friends that love playing baseball and love, you know, helping each other out and winning games.
Awesome. Ben Kunernow with us, Royals top 10 prospect with the Columbia Fireflies right now. Ben, thank you so much. Appreciate the time. Continued success there. I know a really good outing yesterday, and certainly everybody back here watching and rooting and things like that for the success for you and your teammates there in Columbia. So thank you so much for the time, man. Continued success in the start of your career.
Awesome. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. There's Ben Kunernow, who pitched yesterday. I mentioned that there at the end. He had four innings with two hits, three Ks, a couple of walks as well, no earned runs. So, again, now down to a 1.96 ERA. The walks are certainly there, and the strikeouts are there as well. So, as he said, it's a results versus process that you get out there and you know that you're a competitor, so you want to go out there and pitch well and win games and be successful. But there's also the process of, as he said, what, it's a marathon, that, like, when you see an expected arrival time, right, ETA for different prospects, like his ETA would be 2025, so you're looking at 3 years that you're going to be going through the process, that, yeah, you want the results, but seven games into your career where the numbers are counting towards your baseball card, you know, in your minor league career, when you say, boy, what did he do in the minors? Well, this is what he did in A-ball, because extended spring training, you're not, you know, keeping track of that. Well, this is what he did in extended spring training. Don't care. But here's what he's done so far in seven games. And so there's the development aspect of that. As he said, the changeup has been something he's really been focusing on. So when you've got a fastball slider and then you're going to throw that changeup up there as well, as he said, it's not something you need in high school. You know, I would doubt that Ben Kuderna needed to go to a changeup very often when he was in high school, that he was blowing guys away sitting 95, 97. I think he'd be fine with that. But now, boy, we talk about it with Brady Singer a lot. You know, sinker slider guy, need to develop the changeup. That you've got Ben Kuderna, who's a 19-year-old, and is focusing on a changeup in A-ball with Columbia, which is great. Want to continue to see that happening with all of those guys down there. So velocity, picking up, put on weight, and just overall development as well. So thank you to Ben Kuderna for taking some time out of his day. Pitched yesterday, seven starts so far in his big league career. ERA's there. But as we said, walks, I think, will start to improve. And he's talking about the technique and a well-placed fastball at 91, better than a 95-mile-an-hour fastball that misses. You know, and certainly that's going to be part of his development. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We will continue rolling. We'll talk with Craig Brown coming up at noon. He is from End of the Fountains newsletter. Good stuff from Craig Brown on Brady Singer and some other things from the weekend. We will talk with him about that. We'll continue rolling along. Corey will join us from the National coming up on the other side. More Zone right after this. It's a Monday edition. It's Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You're in the Zone with Jason Anderson.
That was people were talking about it all the time.
What?
What'd you say? You said, uh-oh. What's the uh-oh? Did I drop? Is Corey gone?
Hello?
Is Corey out? Corey, you there? What happened?
Anybody there?
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson, Corey Anderson, Beards. We head up until 2 o'clock. We'll talk with Craig Brown, Into the Fountains newsletter, coming up at noon. Mick Schaefer at 1 o'clock. We got some Learn Funniest Best with Mick Schaefer, brought to you by Kona Big Wave and the Big Wave Golden Ale from Kona Brewing Company. We'll do that coming up at 1 o'clock with one Mick Schaefer. Right now, rejoining the show is Corey Anderson, who is up at the National for the 41st Annual Balls Charity Golf Classic with Hen House and a really cool golf tournament that, you know, 41 years in a row, you know, it's pretty successful in what they do and what they support with the local charities and the children around the area, kids and families and things like that. So, Corey, what's going on up there? And we got to let the listeners know about these awesome prizes that they can win over the last, 2.5 hours of the show.
Yeah, there's a lot of times where we, you know, come out to these golf tournaments and we promote what they're doing, and what they're doing is incredible. I mean, this golf tournament, like you said, has been going on 41 years now, and they do a lot of great work with helping charities in the community. But not all of them give us stuff to give away to people that aren't here. And they have decided to go ahead and hook us up. And Hartzell mentioned this a little bit at the beginning of the show. But they have decided to hook us up with some stuff for the people that are out there listening. So you don't need to come out to the National. We're going to be giving this stuff away over the next 2.5 hours of the show. Here's what we've got to give away on the show today. So you're going to want to keep listening throughout the rest of the show, because there's some really good stuff. I've got a couple of $50 gift cards to Hen House. That's always great. I've got Tippins pies for a year, so you get 12 certificates for a Tippins pie, one pie a month for a year. I've got a certificate here that is good for a round of golf at the Deuce for two. That includes your cart fees, your green fees, and your range balls. I've got four different dozens of the Callaway Super Soft golf balls. I've got an OGO travel bag that is just really, really nice. If you're a golfer, you know the brand OGO. When I say OGO, I'm not talking about a travel bag for your clubs. This would be a travel bag, you know, for you to take when you're going on a trip, like a weekend trip or a vacation. Really, really nice roller bag that's got the Balls Charity Golf Classic logo on it. And then really, I think the two premier items that we've got here. A really nice Callaway light golf bag. It's a white bag. It's got the Balls Charity Golf Classic on the side, but it's one of the really, if you're somebody who likes to walk 18 holes, really, really lightweight. It's a stand bag, so it's not a cart bag. Really nice white golf bag with kind of some green and gray tones to it that have the logo on it there. And then we've also got a Callaway 58 degree Jaws wedge. Who Hartzell apparently has dibs on the wedge. This is a really nice wedge. If you're somebody who knows these Callaway wedges out there, really nice wedge. It's a right-handed wedge, so if you're somebody who plays left-handed, this won't help you a whole lot, but maybe you could give it as a gift. But we've got a lot of really cool stuff that we're going to be giving away here over the next 2.5 hours. And the cream of the crop to me is the golf bag and this wedge here. But like I said, that's a lot of really great prizes that we've got coming over the next 2.5 hours. Should we start it now with a $50 gift card to Hen House to get this thing kicked off?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's start it now. Just if you can tell me Corey's birthday, you get a $50. No, you just want to go like start it off just by the right caller? Caller number 8?
Yeah,
like
caller
that?
Number 8. That sounds good.
That works. And we'll figure out some other things along the way, too, because I don't know that we give away the Callaway 58-degree wedge just by caller number 8. I feel like that might be a little more intricate to try to give that away since it's a pretty cool prize. Maybe even the light golf bag that goes along with it as well, or not goes along with it, but another prize as well.
Yeah,
maybe
nice
we figure some of those giveaways as opposed to just sort of the caller number 8. But 913-3810-810, we'll do caller number 8. How about that? A $50 gift card to Hen House just by being caller number 8. And that is the beginning of how many different things we'll give away.
I want to tell you how cool this bag is. I didn't realize the level of customization. So I said it's got the Balls Charity Golf Classic logo on the side, which, by the way, is not a big tacky logo or anything. It's pretty sharp looking. But each of the zippers, and you know how many zippers are on a golf bag, each of the zippers, instead of just a regular little pull handle, this is a bag from last year's tournament, which was the 40th annual. So each of the little zipper tabs is a 40. It's not just a regular little pull zipper tab. They're all customized with a 40. This is a really, really sharp bag. So whoever gets this is going to be their golf clubs are going to arrive in style when they get out to the golf course.
What a cool gift for somebody that's turning 40 as well, maybe.
Sure.
Maybe
that
could be something there as well. But, yeah, we'll be giving away all of those things throughout the show today. Some would say the big prize is the 12 certificates to Tippins. Some would
yeah,
say that.
Some would.
I'm not sure. You can get those Tippins pies at Hen House as well. So they've got that. So, yeah, round of golf for two. You get the cart, the greens fees, the range balls. We're giving that away. We've got four different dozen pack of balls. Maybe we give a couple of those, like two different two packs away for
yeah.
that. We got the OGO travel
two dozen
bag.
Golf balls.
Yeah, that would make sense. Two dozen balls. That would give me roughly 2/3 of a round that I would need to use. So that's good. I'd need those.
There's some nice stuff, and this isn't usually the way it happens when we come out, because the golf tournaments are doing so much for the charities they support and for the golfers that actually come out here to play. This is a first for me, where we come out to a place and they load us up with all this great swag to give away to the listeners that can't be here. But like I told you in the first hour, like, I've actually gotten to play in this tournament before, and it is as top-notch a tournament as you will see. It's the reason, 41 years, you've still got people wanting to come out and be a part of this. The swag they give the golfers is pretty great as well. All the stuff donated. So, like, when you're somebody who thinks, why would they spend all that money to give all this stuff? No. This stuff gets donated because Balls Foods has a lot of great, great partners that works with people. And so, first for me, where we're giving away swag to people that aren't actually playing in the tournament, but I think that's pretty cool.
That's awesome, man. So, we'll be giving those things away throughout the show today. We'll talk with Craig Brown coming up at noon and Mick Schaefer at 1 o'clock. Thank you to Ben Kuderna, who joined us in the previous segment. And look, man, there's a lot of twists and turns that go on through a minor leaguer's career, and it takes a lot for you to go from high school to actually playing in the big leagues. And there are a lot of guys that are there with the Columbia Fireflies that are high school guys in the last couple of drafts, and a number of them from this most recent draft with Carter and Mazzucato and Panzini and Ben Kuderna himself. And then you got some other guys that are, 19-year-old Eric Pena, who's been in the system for a couple of years. Ben Hernandez, who was a second round pick a couple of years ago, high school kid as well, that's there at single A. So a number of guys that you know, were drafted in the same draft with that same situation. And he talked about, you know, there's some guys that have been drafted out of high school that are going to levels that a lot of guys in their draft were college guys. And so you're around guys that are 22, 23. No, all these guys are 18, 19, 20 years old. I couldn't imagine that life, especially after getting $3 million. But I couldn't imagine that life when it's like, you know, 19 years old, you're traveling, you're playing ball, it's your job, you're going from town to town. And I know the glamour of the minor leagues isn't the way that it is with the big leagues, but God, it's got to be a pretty awesome experience to be 1 year out of high school and you've made a lot of money and you're hanging out with some of your best friends that are the same age as you. You're playing pro ball and you're just going out there and trying to live a dream. And he talked about just hanging out and playing ball and travel. And he was like, it's so much more fun than I thought it would be, which is awesome to hear rather than the, you know, your complaints you hear from the minor leagues of all. The bus leagues and the travel's bad, and it's just not what you would want it to be. It's much easier if you've got that money in the bank as opposed to trying to make it as somebody that wasn't a bonus baby, but still cool to think about what life would have been like in an alternate universe where I was good at sports.
Yeah, and it's I also, you know, until you like take the time to really consciously think about what this transition is like for them. Because I know what it was for me when I just went from high school to college and suddenly I wasn't living at home with my parents and I could choose whether or not I would sleep through a class or I could choose if I was going to go out partying and staying up all night. And the difference that it must be for them, because at least I had school that was kind of, you know, still kind of like high school and that I was supposed to be at class. I didn't have to go to all of them, but I knew I was supposed to be there. Like for them, obviously they have to show up at the ballpark when they're supposed to be there and all that. But trying to go from a kid that's just been a high schooler to now suddenly you don't have parents that are, you know, instilling your curfews. And I'm sure the team has curfews and things like that. But I don't know how I would have handled it because I didn't handle the transition to college all that well. I partied way too much and didn't take school as seriously as I should have. And for them to have to go directly from high school into what is now their career without that buffer that a lot of us that did go to college, you get that buffer time to try to mature, try to grow up, try to learn some lessons. And it is, I can't even imagine going from that. And especially in his case, when you've got millions of dollars in the bank and you are suddenly able to make your own decisions. And it's got to be such a huge transition for these guys and one that I don't think I would have done very well at. And each one of these guys, like we just think about them as ball players, but thinking about that sort of life transition and which one of them, you know, which ones of them handle that transition well versus the ones of them that don't so much, like Josh Hamilton. You know, you think of guys who don't handle that kind of transition as well. It's just you forget how young these guys are and how much their world changes. And for those of us that went to college, it was so different because there was still the school and everything to try to kind of keep it somewhat normal. For them, man, they are right into their career.
Yeah, and it's also like not only from that perspective, but it's also amazing from just like friends that are also, you know, millionaires that are 18, 19 years old. Like Mazzucato got what, $3.5 million to sign. Kuderno got $3 million. Carter Jensen got $1 million. You know, Ben Hernandez.
Is that not what you and your friends were like?
No, it wasn't the same. I went a semester by spending $20 in the semester. You know, Ben Hernandez was drafted in 2020, not 2021, but he got $1.5 million as well. I mean, even Eric Pena and Vasquez, like those guys were both international and got, you know, close to $1 million as well. So like, it's a different experience from a lot of different ways, man. A lot of different ways. It is a vastly different experience. You're playing ball and enjoying life on the road, and you're in Columbia just playing baseball. That's your job, and you know that you're not worried about where you're going to eat that day. You're not worried about how much gas you're going to put in the car because you got to go home real quick for Thanksgiving or something like that, or traveling home and things like that. It is a little bit different, but it's not easy either because, you know, you're a professional now. It's your career. And as he said, like he mentioned it a couple times that, you know, it's your job. And you probably realize that pretty quickly. I would guess you would realize that pretty quickly that, hey, it's your job, and it's about coming through and being successful, because you didn't get the bonus for just being okay. You got the bonus because they think you're going to work your butt off and you're going to try to make it to the big leagues and do what you can, and not let that, you know, necessarily go to your head, and understand that, yeah, that's a taste of what could be, you know, real life changing if you do what you're supposed to do over the next 3 years, if things work out, if there's some luck along the way that you certainly need. And in 3 years, if he makes it to the big leagues and he's good, certainly those things would matter. But, you know, you got a group of guys that are down there in single A that all, you know, got some pretty decent money as 17 and 18 and 19 year olds that are living life and
it's
playing
a different
ball.
World, man.
Man, I wouldn't have minded to go and live that life for a little bit, you know.
I honestly don't think it would have worked for me.
Really?
I think I'm much more Josh Hamilton than guys that it works out
well,
for.
Well, and you,
so,
I mean, you
it probably would have been a bad situation.
Well, you had that you're talking about, but you were even playing college soccer, too. So, like, you were going through that, and you had coaches that were, you know, on you, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
They didn't care about you?
I wasn't that important, Jason.
You didn't show. They didn't even notice if you showed up to class or not?
No, your end-of-the-bench guy doesn't matter much.
They're showing up to classes to make sure guys are there, and there's an empty seat in the front row where you usually would be, and they don't even notice. Like, yeah. All right, Jeff is here. Coach, yeah, Jeff showed up to class. We're good. We're good. All right, great. It's like, Corey has only been to like five classes. Really? Hey,
who?
Ron, I thought you were checking on players. I did. He wasn't there? I could have sworn he was there. You know. Oh, well, you know. Yeah. What's he, not going to play tomorrow? Well, he wasn't going to either, so that's fine.
Nope. I wouldn't have handled it well. And I give props to all these kids that do, because I was one of those guys that once the parents were not around, I was, you know, like a preacher's kid, you know, that just was like, hey, I'm gonna go wild.
You're gonna go have a prom dance.
Went
you're
buck
go,
wild.
You're gonna go crazy, and you're gonna start dancing in your high school town. We'll slow down there, guy. Come on. I also realized that Carter Jensen's still 18 years old. He's been with the Royals for almost a year, and he hasn't turned 19 yet. Like, that's, I don't know, it's crazy. You know, 18 years old, and I was in high school as an 18-year-old. You know, I graduated high school and turned 19 like a month later.
Yeah, so he's almost a year into his professional career, and he's still 18.
This guy had just turned 18 and was playing big league ball and making that money. So good for him, man. 913-912-4810. I'm going to talk some Chiefs on the other side. We'll talk some Chiefs today as well, even though we got Craig Brown coming up at noon, some more Royals talk, and then Mick Schaefer at 1 o'clock. But I'm going to talk some Chiefs on the other side. There's some cool things out that all involve the Chiefs, like CBS Sports has, you know, their rookie wide receivers that they go and look at. NFL.com has the scariest quarterbacks entering 2022. CBS Sports also put out the best bargain players contract and what they can bring to the table this year, which Chiefs or Chief showed up on that list. We'll get to all of those things as well. 913-912-4810, and we're going to be continuing to give away all of these cool prizes from the 41st Annual Balls Charity Golf Classic with Henhouse out at the National. And if you win some of these prizes, you'll just come here to the office.
I'm going to be bringing them all back with me, back to the station, so you don't bother coming out to the National if you are a winner. How about we give away another thing right before we go to break?
Great.
Just to get everybody in the winning mood.
Yeah.
How about we give away Tippins Pies for a year? This is 12 certificates for a free Tippins Pie from Hen House. And you all know, if you've had those delicious 9-inch Tippins Pies, we're going to give away Tippins Pies for a year. Do we want to do caller 8 again, or how do we want to do it?
Let's go with what caller do we want to go with? Well, I was looking up Ben Kuttner wears number 29. Do we want to go caller number 29?
Beards doesn't.
Beards, what do you think? Caller 29? Are you feeling good about that one?
That might be a little bit much there.
I mean, come on.
Hey, 2 and 9 make 11.
Oh, caller number 11. Okay, you feel a little saucy, though. Even caller number 11. Okay, caller number 11. Our callers go up to 11 today. Caller number 11, you're going to get 12 certificates to to get a Tippins pie. 12 different certificates for a Tippins pie. That is caller number 11 as Corey is hanging out at the National with the 41st Annual Balls Charity Golf Classic going on, which supports several local charities. KVC Health Systems, the primary beneficiary, cares for over 60,000 kids and families in Kansas, Missouri, Nebraska, Kentucky, West Virginia, with in-home family support, foster care, adoption, behavioral health care, and children's psychiatric hospitals as well. It is the Balls Family Charity Golf Classic 41st Annual. We'll take a timeout, come back. We'll talk a little Chiefs next.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
The machine's taking over the world.
Yeah,
kiss my
so
ass.
Far.
You can't take my McDonald's order.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Craig Brown coming up at noon. Into the Fountains newsletter. IntoTheFountains.substack.com. We'll talk with him about the Kansas City Royals. Corey is hanging out at the National with the 41st Annual Balls Charity Golf Classic with Hen House, giving away a bunch of cool prizes with that. Text comes in at 913-912-4810. Says, I can't wait for Cal Eldred to get his hands on Kutterna and mold him into the major league pitcher he'll become. I disagree. I don't know why. I just disagree with that. I don't know what it is. I immediately disagree with that text. I think the texter was being completely honest about his excitement about not being able to wait for Cal to get his hands on some of the younger guys in the system with the pitchers. I don't think that's the case. 913-912-4810. I wanted to bring up the CBS Sports. Cody Benjamin covers the NFL. Had the best bargain NFL players at premium positions. So the underpaid guys that bring up the bargain of what they actually bring to the table. So quarterback, he's got Tom Brady as the best bargain. That the cost is annual average earnings, $25 million per year, but the 2022 cost is like 11.9 this year for him. Joe Burrow is listed there. Justin Herbert is listed there. So he lists three quarterbacks. And then at wide receiver, he lists five different wide receivers. And I thought it interesting that one of those wide receivers was Juju Smith-Schuster at 3.25. The other ones are, let's see, he has Debo Samuel, which is going to cost $4.9 million this year. Justin Jefferson costing $4.2 million. DK Metcalf, $4.3 million. Now, that's assuming those guys, you know, play. Certainly Debo and DK. And then Jamison Crowder with the Bills, that's making less than $2 million this year, signing with Buffalo. But Juju Smith-Schuster, 3.25 this year. He says the former Steelers standout has been an afterthought in a frenetic wide receiver market the last 2 years. It's probably true he's more of a steady option than spectacular one, but man oh man, could Kansas City get bang for its buck with the still young target machine teaming up with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid's offense. So at least one website saying that one of the best bargains at the wide receiver spot of the five that he lists is Juju Smith-Schuster, and it could be, but I think the most important thing for Juju is health. I think with a good quarterback and his ability, I think Juju Smith-Schuster is a damn fine wide receiver and could be a big part of the offense this year. The issue is, can he stay healthy? If he does, then I think he's going to have a big year. I think Juju Smith-Schuster can approach 100 catches this year if he stays healthy. I know that we've heard about the relationship with MBS and Patrick Mahomes. And if that's the case, great. If it's Marquez Valdes-Scantling, that's fine. Don't really care. Is it Justin Ross? Is it Josh Gordon that Corey's been talking about being so close to breaking out for so long?
So close.
If it's him, I don't really care who it is. But, you know, we were talking about Juju a year ago, and they signed Juju Smith-Schuster this offseason. And we look back and can see what he did with when Big Ben threw for 5,000 yards and Juju was healthy. I mean, he had 100 catches in the league, and he had touchdowns and you know, over 1,000 yards. So he's got that history, and he's still a younger player at just, what, 25, 26 years old is Juju.
Yeah.
So the certainly the history is there. It's a matter of what does he actually do in this offense, and is MVS the guy that's going to get a lot of the looks? Fine. because I think Juju's still a good player, and I think Mecole Hardman can, you know, get better this year as well. So they've got some guys that could be of value at the wide receiver spot, whereas Miami's paying a lot of money for Tyreek. They've got Juju at 3.25. They've got MVS for a little bit more, but they've got Mecole Hardman pretty cheap, and they've got Sky Moore pretty cheap. They've got Josh Gordon pretty cheap. They've got Justin Ross cheap. They don't have a guy on their team that's going to be making, you know, $12, $13 million per year. Maybe that comes back to haunt them, but they don't have that wide receiver that does that. It's more of that 1-5, 1-6 that we've talked about. It's not high end. It's not a top end. It's going to be more depth that's there, but guys have to come through and play. And yes, if Juju Smith-Schuster plays like he did a couple of years ago, it could be an incredible bargain, and we'll see what he may get in the offseason as a free agent. Maybe he gets a multi-year deal. Maybe the Chiefs.
Yeah, and you mentioned it. The question is, how healthy does he stay? Because if you can get 13 or 14 games at least out of Juju Smith-Schuster at that number, you're getting a hell of a deal. Now, if you only get 4 or 5 games because he battles nagging injuries or has some kind of season-ending injury, and obviously it's not, but you know, they signed Sammy Watkins to a much bigger deal, and he was a guy that had some injury concerns, and they came back to bite him. This is a guy with some injury concerns that you didn't sign to some big, huge deal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's interesting when you look at the way this receiver room is stacked up that there's a chance that you've got your top three receivers all make less than your fourth best receiver. That is, if Valdes-Scantling ends up being the fourth out of Hardman, Sky Moore, and Juju, that the guy who makes the most might actually be the fourth most productive. But you're going to have Juju on the field. But if he is on the field, he's the guy that I expect to lead this team in catches and be kind of a security blanket for Mahomes.
Yeah, Marquez Valdes-Scantling is 4.8 against the cap this year. Hardman is 4.4. Juju is 2.9. Where's Sky Moore? Sky Moore is $1.2 million against the cap. So yeah, you've got some bargains that are there. Hey, as we continue to give away some of these really cool things from the 41st Annual Balls Charity Golf Classic, we're going to do a text line giveaway or two as well. So be listening in for that.